Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and you can get your daily Astros podcast wherever you get your podcasts: Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, and now on YouTube. That's right, live. We're at 750 subscribers. If you're watching, you haven't subscribed to our channel, please subscribe. Please hit the notification button. That way you'll know when we're going to go on live. And we are here today. This show is brought to you by Spotify Green Room, changing the way that we talk about sports. If you go to Spotify Green Room, download the app. You can look me up at H-Town Wheelhouse or look up Eric Heisman at Eric Heisman. And we can go all over the place with conversations during games, before games, after games. We have great conversations. Larry's actually joined us. So Larry, tell me, where can the fans find you on Twitter?
It's really easy. It's at Larry the GM, because I'm not a GM, but I think like one.
That's right. And so that's what I love about Larry is he's called Larry the GM, but he's not saying, hey, I'm a GM, guys. But the discussion we had before the show, the pre-recorded show, you've got to go to YouTube. It is processing us. Heck, it may be live now where you can download it, but you got to go back and watch that, because what we do is we break down the 40-man roster. We break down where they are war-wise ranking and war projected, okay? And then we break down, and Larry actually breaks down. I'm basically nodding my head and listening, but it's actually easy enough for me to understand. Larry's an engineer. I'm a teacher, so he's a little more technically minded, but he breaks it down nicely in layman's terms so fans from all spectrums can understand. And that's what we want to do. We're trying to bridge the gap here. We've got a high bar of listeners that listen, but we also know there's a lot of fans that are just fans of the game, and they don't know all the technical stuff. So Larry breaks it down quite nicely. And so, yes, Eric Heisman is listening live. He says, I gave him that name.
He did.
That's right. That's right. And so there are many things, and this is something that Johnny actually brings up. He said the Astros are 11-11 since Detroit snapped our 11-game winning streak. That's right. And this
we got to do something, Johnny.
That's right. This is all the more reason to do some trades. So Larry, let's get into it. Let's talk about trades. Folks, we're going to be sharing with you, if you're listening, a spreadsheet. If you want that spreadsheet, go to Twitter, find us. You can see screenshots of it. We can DM you. Larry can even email it to you. Get in touch with him. But he's going to talk over the spreadsheets, kind of like a play-by-play. So let's go ahead and get going, Larry. We are going to talk about trades, correct?
Right. So let's set the stage of what – so Brett and I had a pre-show show. So if you listen to this and it doesn't make sense to you, then go listen to the pre-show. And then we're going to set the stage. I'm going to summarize what we said in the pre-show, and then we're going to go fast forward, all right? So what we did in the pre-show, we talked through the Astros roster, how they performed so far, and how they're projected to perform. And from those projections and what they've done so far, what are the true weaknesses? I have a heat map that you can see on Twitter. I tweeted that out. And if you want it, you can contact me on Twitter. And we'll work to get it to you in an email. Then what Brett and I went through is we went through the 40-man roster and the 26-man roster. We walked through several steps from now to the trade deadline and a little bit beyond that to what the Astros need to do to get all their players back. We got some players that are on the 60-man that are not on a 60-day disabled list that are injured list that are not on the 40-man right now. How are we going to manage that? And what are we going to do? There's some conclusions that we reached as we went through this exercise, that the Astros have more players than they have slots in the 40-man. So therefore, we need to be able to trade some of the guys that we have on the 40-man roster as we try to upgrade the franchise. So that's what we're going to talk about, how we're going to do that. So, Brett, what did I miss, and how do you want to take the next step?
So basically what we want to do is Larry's going to go over this map. And so for those of y'all in the chat that are going to ask us questions. I've seen your questions right now. Keep my memory who's asking them. We will speak to those here in a second because I know there's some questions about Graveman, about Josh James coming back. But what we're going to try to hyper-focus on is not necessarily injuries right now. We're gonna focus on who we can trade for. And so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to have Larry go through the first two. Let's do the first two trade scenarios that you have. We'll show the graph, we'll show the chart for those watching. And then after that, we'll pull that back so I can see the comments of the people and we can add in their comments. They can be still an interactive part of the show. Does that sound good?
Okay. So the biggest thing that the Astros are going to trade for is a relief pitcher. Brett is sharing with you a spreadsheet where I went through, I don't even remember how many players are on this spreadsheet at this point, over 25 different options for trades. And within that, I have the list of relief pitchers. Let me do a real quick filter check. I've got 17 relief pitchers that I evaluated for a trade. So we're going to, and also today on MLB Trade Rumors, there was a post, and I'm going to go ahead and make sure we credit Anthony Franco posted, and he put some folks in there. So we are going to go. I evaluated the people he put in his post as potential trade targets. I have a belief that the Astros should get two relief pitchers. That's how big, and if you want to understand that, you can go to the pre-show and it'll show you, it'll explain why. I believe they should get a lefty type specialist. I believe that is Andrew Chafin from the Cubs. And they need to get a either premium setup or slash closer that can share the duties with Presley. So I have two different options for the closer. I don't care. I don't actually have a strong opinion of which one they should get. One is Rogers from the Twins, and the other is Rodriguez from the Pirates. Now, okay. Rodriguez probably is a little more expensive, but the Twins are making overtures like they're not really interested in trading. They just know that they stink this year, and they're gonna be better next year, so they're not really gonna trade. I think that's all posturing, folks. It's just to be really clear with you. Taylor Rogers is a free agent in 2023, so. We would get 2 years of service with Taylor Rogers. Richard Rodriguez is a free agent in 24, so they would have 3 years of service with him. That's why Rodriguez's price is more. So if you understand, so one of the things that we talked about on the pre-show is understanding what other teams may need. And you can see that through the heat map that I showed. That heat map, where it's blue, that's where those teams have weaknesses. Now, with the Twins, they're also rumored to be trading Donaldson. If they trade Donaldson, that sell for them and on third base is going to be massively blue. And so I believe Abraham Toro would have a pretty significant value for them. And so I want to trade Taylor Rogers from the Twins for Abraham Toro, Ryan Abreu, and Solomon. And that, if you, one of the things that you've heard Brett and I talk about or reference on previous shows before is we go to a website called baseballtradevalues.com. Now, they may or may not have the perfect value for these, but at least it's an objective, non-Astros viewpoint of what the trade values of our players are and what other teams are asking. If we did trade to the Twins those three players, we would be paying a premium of like 35% beyond that. Now, is that enough? People told me that we would never be able to get Gerrit Cole for the kind of deal. I mean, Brett, I don't know if you remember, I basically called the Gerrit Cole deal, the kind of deal, the structure of it, the kinds of players we were going to send. The deals that I'm framing here are going to be similar. Now you can say, well, no one's ever going to make another deal like that because the the Pirates got screwed in that deal. Well, not actually. They didn't. They've actually, I think, gotten like 9 players back for total because of they traded Colon and they traded Musgrove after and they've traded other players. So they've gotten a pretty good overall return. So the deals I'll be talking about are going to look pretty similar in nature to the Cole deal because, again, the Astros do need to trade players that are on the 40-man. So Rogers for Toro, Abreu, and Solomon, those are 3 players that are on the 40-man, and it would clear space for other folks coming in.
So
same deal for Rodriguez. So I'm going to those 2 teams, say who wants to make this deal? You know, we got Abraham Toro, Ryan Abreu, and Solomon. Which of you two want to give as your closer?
Exactly. And so one of the things when you talk about lefty reliever that Johnny Munoz mentioned, he asked the question, aren't lefty specialists a thing of the past because of the 3 batter mandatory rule? I would say yes and no. I would say it depends on what the situation is. But still, with what he's done in the season and the value these guys have, it would make sense to do that because, especially with our bullpen lacking. And let's be clear here. You have to clear 40-man roster players to make trades. You can't go pick some guy from high A from Fayetteville or Corpus Christi that's not on the 40-man and trade them. Because then if you still have 40 men when an extra guy comes in, what are you going to do with those 40 men? You can't squeeze them. There's not an extra space. And so, and you know, the roster expansion doesn't happen until the playoffs, so you can't do that.
So let me jump in a little bit, Brett. I philosophically, I don't disagree with you, Johnny, that, you know, is a lefty specialist really that important? But let's understand how Dusty's been managing. He wears the heck out of the 2 lefties that we've had pitching already. So adding another lefty arm into the bullpen, and Chafin's been better than either one of Raley or Taylor. So we'd actually be upgrading our primary lefty reliever in that scenario. Now Rogers, if I'm not forgetting, Rogers is a lefty too. So I'm adding. I'm bringing in lefties to the bullpen. I got a righty closer. I got a lefty closer. Pedro Baez is supposed to be a good setup man, assuming he is. I got that, and I want another lefty setup man. So all that is going to be, hey, we're bringing in massive help for the bullpen. That's point number one of what we're going to talk about tonight.
Exactly. And that is really where most of the need lies. You know, Mr. Corona says some of these trades may hurt in the short time, but it will be better in the long run. And that's really, you know, you can't, and this is what I said on the pre-recorded show, you can't want a king's ransom and give up the court jester. Like, if you want a king, you're going to have to trade a king or someone who's going to become a king, because a good trade, and Mike Stanton said this on our show, a good trade hurts both teams. If it's truly a good trade for both teams, it's going to hurt both teams. And the amount of hurt, and here's another thing, Larry, we spoke about this, and I don't think enough fans really think about this. We don't have a top-rated farm system. We're not trading 5 or 6 guys in the top 100 prospects of baseball. We're trading guys that, as Astros fans, if you stick with them and you know a lot about them, you're like, oh, I don't want to let this guy go. I don't want to let that guy go. But at the end of the day, is it about winning now, or is it just about sustaining success over a strong period of time? And I really think Jim Crane's on a mission this year. I really think he wants them to go all in.
Yeah, so what's my Chafin deal, right? So Chafin, by the trade values website, doesn't have that huge of a value. He's actually a very reasonable price, and we would get a good return, good value for that. So I put in Dubin, Belak, and Rivaldo Rodriguez. So that's a little more maybe prospect centric deal, but you know, Belak is, understand where the Cubs are at. The Cubs are about to hit a major, major fire sale. So as the Cubs are burning it down, I'm going to go in there and say, Hey, why don't you just let us have Andrew Chafin? We'll take care of him for the next couple of years. And we're going to give you three potential pitching prospects that are there's some upside to them. And at least they can, two of them have played in the major league. So you've got something to go with. So that's not the Scherzer deal, guys. I'm just giving you, I want one of those two closers and I want the lefty setup guy. And I think those are going to all add very good value to our bullpen. And actually, Brett, remember the heat map that I showed you in the show? If we add those pitchers, if we add Rogers and Chafin to our bullpen, we will go from being one of the worst bullpens in baseball to being in the top five.
Exactly. So y'all are looking at the heat map right now, I believe, and in cell in column L, these are the relief pitchers.
I don't think you're seeing it. Are you guys seeing it? Because I'm not seeing you share it.
Really? Let me see. Thought I was sharing it. Share screen. Share entire screen. Share.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Boom. All right. Now, do y'all see it?
Yes. Now they see it.
And you see the heat map. Okay. So this right here is what I have highlighted. Now, whether y'all can make out all the reds and the blues, the Astros are ranked 19th in their projected WAR. In season to date, they're 19th. And so what you're saying is if they go out and get relief pitchers, they would go straight to the top. And like we talked in the playoffs, when you're playing the top teams, you want to have a top bullpen. Now, Larry, I do want to shift a little bit because you have an interesting name in here and a player that if they traded with us, I would be shocked, but it makes a lot of sense. Kyle Gibson, who's been someone who's like held the Astros in check, but has been absolutely phenomenal for most of the season.
Right. So Kyle Gibson has done a really good job. Now the projections forward are not that like. So one of the things I'm thinking relative to a starting pitcher is to give another pitcher I believe the Astros are going to start doing innings management here in the next couple weeks. And some of us are going to get pretty upset about like, what are they doing? Why are they doing that? And I believe the point is, you know, yeah. So Johnny, let's get Gibson before he pitches against us in 2 days. How about that? let's get an arm in here that's an innings eater that has at least a you know, I think it's debatable. Well, I believe he's better than Orizzi. Okay, so. I'm going to, at my point is like, let's get another arm into the starting rotation that can be better than Odorizzi. Like that really what's probably going to happen if we do that is, you know, Garcia, will probably get some time in time off to manage his innings. Javier, same thing. I think that's coming at some point if we get some arms. So,
right. And just to respond to Chris on here, he said, hey, you know, I don't think the Rangers are going to trade Gibson. Come on. And so here's what you have to understand in the trade deadline discussion that we're having today. It's not that we're saying that these are the deals that will happen or that the Astros are going to make. But these are the deals that when Larry has crunched the numbers and he's looked at the greatest needs and who has the pieces that fit that the best analytically, Gibson fits in now because the Rangers probably have needs of players that we have and it would help them. So that's what we're doing. You know, and like you said, we haven't even hit on the Max Scherzer thing. The Max Scherzer thing, I don't even want maybe we get into that in a little bit, but before we do, we need to talk about Built Bar because talking about all this trade deadline stuff makes me hungry. And I know Eric is sitting in the airport right now, probably eating a Built Bar. Larry, the GM's wife, ordered Built Bar, their first mix box, because of yours truly. And they use the promo code Locked On, and they got 15% off their first order. That's right. They have these great, they've got these great mixed boxes. And what's cool about these boxes they're sending you is they have these random golden tickets, kind of like Willy Wonka, and you can get your face on a NASCAR vehicle. Like the guy who drives a Built Bar car, your face could be on the hood of his car. I just want my face on the hood of someone's car. Maybe I get one printed out and put it on my neighbor's cars. I don't know if they would like that. But if they got mad, I could just give them a Built Bar because that seems to satisfy everybody's need. So they have 17 to 18 grams of protein, ranging from 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. They're tasty. They're healthy, wrapped in 100% chocolate. The USA track and field team, who's about to start running and competing and beating the rest of the world in the Olympics over there in Tokyo, they consume Built Bar. So why shouldn't you go to built.com? Use the promo code LOCKS15 for 15% off your first order. That's built.com, where HTL Wheelhouse, Eric the Man Heisman, and Larry the GM all consume Built Bars along with the USA track and field team. That's right. They started using Built Bar because we were using Built Bar. They saw the results. They're like, let's do it. So builtbar.com, go grab them while you can.
All right. So building on what you said, Brett, the deals I'm providing are frameworks for deals. But the spreadsheet I have that you showed briefly has like 25, 30 players in there that look similar to that. So, you know, the Gibson. So I don't think I actually said who am I trading for Gibson. All right. So I know it's going to be hard for us, but let's pretend we're the Rangers for just a minute. The Rangers are very likely to trade Gallo. When they do that, they're going to have a hole in the outfield. So we're going to give them Chaz McCormick. Okay. And wow. They're going to give them Chaz McCormick, Daniels, and Nova, because they also are going to have a future need in the infield. The Rangers need almost everything. They're just
the Rangers need a new stadium, Larry. Come on.
let's not, I mean, I grew up like 10 minutes from old Arlington Stadium. So I can talk about the Rangers. So the deal I propose, if you give them McCormick, Daniels, and Nova, that's a 15% overpay. I people say the Rangers aren't going to trade with the Astros. Well, the Rangers don't care if Kyle Gibson goes to the Astros when they're not going to have any chance of doing anything in the postseason anyway.
Yeah, it's not like we're stopping them from getting the wild card.
We're not going to steal tickets from the Rangers. So yes, Gibson is he's 33.7 years old. So there's a chance that we could lose him. So, Brett, those are those are three deals, one or the other closer, Chafin, and then Gibson. Those are deals. If I were James Click, I would do. Now, okay. Can I give you one that I would do that I know the Astros won't do? This is the last deal.
Yeah, go ahead and do that, and then I'll ask you about one. Actually, I'll open it up to the fans, and then I'll give you one that I have, and then we'll go from there. So go ahead.
So if you listen to the pre-show, you'll understand. I say the Astros really should upgrade their catching spot. Now, I know there's serious potential culture challenges with doing that from a clubhouse culture standpoint. I'm just saying from a performance standpoint, I would upgrade the catcher. So Brett had a show recently with the Locked On Pirates anchor. I don't know what you call yourself. Brett, sorry. And they suggested Stallings might be available. And Stallings is actually a very good young catcher. If you guys don't know, I'm sorry, he's not that young. He's 31.6. But he's been performing very well, a definite offensive upgrade, and not a black hole from a defense standpoint. So I would trade for Stallings. I would take Barber, Brewer, Stubbs, and Scrub, and that's actually right on target from a fair value standpoint. Now, if you want to put both Rodriguez and Stallings together, that turns into a 2 for like 7. I don't think that's probably going to happen, but that's the kind I would personally trade for Stallings. Guys, don't kill me because I know that they won't. Yes, Jacob Stallings.
Yes, no, and you know, just to reiterate what you were saying, you do understand, and that's where people get lost in these discussions. is you recognize it right off the bat that there would be a change in clubhouse culture, because Maldonado has very much cemented himself as one of the key battery mates of this pitching staff. And he has had a huge, I think, influence psychologically for some of these younger pitchers, especially in 2020. And so while recognizing that, you have to think like, they are like, this is it. What is the GM thinking? What is the best thing for the club going forward performance, going for their performance on the field? Do they have enough in the clubhouse surplus wise to make up for that lost clubhouse culture if someone like Maldonado was not the quote unquote starting guy? You would, though, have three catchers. You wouldn't have to rely on Stubbs coming up.
You probably have to give the Pirates Stubbs in the deal.
So there you have three catchers for the, sometimes you've been carrying three catchers, why not? So let me ask you guys again, if you're listening via audio like Odyssey, Apple, Google, Spotify, I really want you to go to YouTube. I want you to subscribe, because if you are able to join us live, you are able to interact with us. We put your questions up here. And so right now I want to ask you guys, who are you guys looking at the Astros training for? What are the names you want us to discuss? Yes, go ahead.
While they give you their trade suggestions, let me address one question I did see. So what happens? So the downside of trading McCormick is you just significantly reduce the depth that we have in outfield. All right. So Here's the challenge, right? So there it is. You called up the comment. So I believe that, I think what Alvarez has proven is he has more of a capability to play left field than either I thought before or not. And I'm also talking about this in the context as Diaz is imminent to return. So Diaz is also very capable of playing the outfield. So Diaz becomes not only an infield replacement, but an outfield replacement. If there's an injury that led to the situation, then you probably are in a situation where you bring up one of our AAA outfielders, and it's probably Jake Myers that's the first one to get the shot. So
exactly,
and in Siri, and then honestly, guys, if Pedro Leon keeps playing like he is, he's coming next year. So
yeah.
That's what I'd say. All right. So Brett,
let's do this.
Why don't we talk about Marte?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he's saying right here, Big Man Clark says Rodriguez, Marte, and another solid bullpen player is all I'm really asking for. I'd rather take Cattell instead of Starling, the brothers, but Starling would do. But you just put three big names. You say another solid reliever. What do you want? Kimbrel? You want like Kimbrel, Rodriguez, and Marte? I just don't think that's realistic. You are going to have to give up 40-man roster spots, and those guys are going to probably require. Are the Cubs wanting a bunch of 40-man guys for a guy like Kimbrel, for a guy like Marte? What do the Marlins want? What are they asking for? They're not going to extend Marte, but they're selling.
So the other thing we talked about, Brett, and I know there's a lot of rumors with Marte, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, but if you go to that heat map that we talked about, and we really broke this down in the pre-show, if you understand what our performance has actually been so far this year at center field, we've had the seventh best performance or production from the center field position of anybody in major leagues. I don't think that screams out that we need to address the center field situation. I think, this will shock people that follow me on Twitter, but I think you need to let it play out with Straw through the end of the year. And then it's Straw and Leon and a couple of the other outfielders in AAA that are fighting for that playing time. So I am not in favor of trading for Marte, because I just don't think that what we would have to give up is there's value there.
Exactly.
Let's address the Kimbrel situation.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead with Kimbrel.
So one of the things, and you'll see this in the spreadsheet on the upper right hand of my trade spreadsheet. So I said, maybe I should have started with this, Brett. Sorry. What are my requirements for trade candidates? There must be a clear upgrade from players we have. So they need to be better than, and from a relief pitcher, it needs to be better than Abreu. Okay. That's kind of a replacement level, I believe, for the Astros. So really, I'd like for them to project to have around a 3.7 or even better ERA if that's possible. So I personally would prefer non-rentals. Okay. That's a serious, like, I don't want to trade somebody for 2 months of performance. They need to have a reasonable trade value by the metrics that we have. And you guys, we're not throwing the numbers at you, but a lot of the other trade candidates are really the numbers too big from a trade value standpoint.
So
and from pitchers, because they pitch at Minute Maid Park so much, I really want them to have a ground ball percentage greater than 40%. That's one of the areas that Craig Kimbrell is just on the borderline of
meeting. Okay.
Now Chafin, just so people understand, 52.3. You know who that looks like? That looks like McCullers and those kinds of guys. I mean,
wow. Okay. So that's where the value is. And
Taylor Rogers, 47.9.
Okay, so they're well above that.
There's 40%. A reason, guys, that I'm saying those are the guys.
So what about Kendall Graveman? I know Johnny Munoz really, really likes him because, A, he's a former starter. He's now killing it in the bullpen, he says, and he's only making $500,000, which definitely wouldn't put us over the tax. But I really do think that they are going to go over it with one move or another. But Kendall Graveman might be a really good piece. And then there's another one that I want to mention because I want to give everybody a chance to have a say. Chris Thompson says Eduardo Escobar from Arizona to add depth. What about those two guys, adding someone like that to this roster? Does that, you know, one of the key things you and I, when we talked about this a while back, was you said, if you're going to get relief pitchers, they have to be better than the guys that you have. They can't be as good. They literally have to be better. Maybe Graveman, maybe Escobar gets you there.
I'm sorry. We're wanting Escobar from the Diamondbacks?
I don't know. That was just someone that they mentioned to add depth. I don't know how he's doing or what.
I don't know who they're wanting, because the Escobar that I call up, I didn't really know that name, is a third baseman shortstop. So I'm not
trying. Okay. To... Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Let's
talk about Graveman.
Okay. Graveman. Yeah.
So Graveman fits the profile. I mean, so Graveman career ground ball percent, 51.7. Great. Graveman, is a rental. Okay. So, I mean, it's very possible, but Graveman plays for the Mariners. Now, if I'm the Mariners GM, I'm not necessarily buying, but I'm not necessarily selling.
They're not doing bad this year.
The Mariners are. I don't remember what it was after last night, but the Mariners are closer to the A's, and the A's are close to us. So yeah. they very well could, and they're a very young roster. The Mariners remind me a lot of the Astros in 2015 or maybe 2014 and a half, right? They're on the verge of being something really special next year. So if I'm the Mariners, I'm not really worried about trading Graveman. I'm more like looking to set up a really good relationship with him and sign him and bring him back next year. So that's right. What I would say about Graveman. I mean, it fits the profile of the kind of guy I want. Now, the other thing is, as I not only looked at their current performance, their ERA, but also their FIP, and also what their projected performance is. So Graveman is he's got a 0.09 ERA, right? 0.90 ERA, but his FIP's 3 and his projected ERA for the rest of the season is 4.16. So again, remember, I'm trying to get guys that are doing from a reliever standpoint, So from a reliever standpoint, Rodriguez is the 3.74 for the rest of the year. Chafin, the 3.67. Rodgers, a 2.93. So that's for there to be value for the Astros to trade for him, they have to be better. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, it does. It does make sense. And what we'll do is, this is talk. This is a conversation that, gosh, we could probably have 2-3 full hours and people would sit and listen. I mean, we've got like 59 people online right now. I'll just address one thing we talked about. Someone had mentioned, I think the Escobar thing came in with the depth because of the Robel Garcia and Abraham Toro concerns, but you do have Diaz and Bregman coming back. So with Diaz and Bregman coming back, I don't think you need – third base is not a need that you have to fill right now because once Bregman's back healthy, he should be good. So
listen to the pre-show. Okay, we've teased him all the way, Brett. We need we gotta talk about Scherzer. I know we're at the end of time, but let me do it
real quick. Let's do it. Yes.
Okay, so Scherzer, by our system, by the trade value system, is 13.7. Toro's 10.1. So if I were to trade for Scherzer, I would go Toro, James, Solomon, Dubin, and give them a bunch of pitching prospects to trade for Scherzer. It's okay. So Scherzer is a rental, but he's gonna remember Scherzer's got 10-5 rule rights. So he can veto any trade. He's going to demand that the Astros sign him to an extension. Scherzer's 37 years old. Now he's kind of like Verlander.
With the ageless wonder, right?
Right. And so I wouldn't necessarily be against Scherzer. I think you probably could. I don't know what money he would want in the extension. I threw out a number on Twitter saying $75 million over 3 years.
Wow.
But I think that would be fairly reasonable for a 37-year-old Scherzer, but he might disagree. Say I'm too good for that.
Well, you know, one of the things you mentioned to me is that if you're Max Scherzer and you're coming here and you're gonna sign an extension, you're gonna look to your right over that pitching mound and you're gonna go, hey, there's a guy right there named Carlos Correa. You do plan on signing him, right? Because I'm not signing an extension to a winner if you're going to get rid of your best position player. He is hands down the best fielder. Now, that could work in the favor of Carlos Correa staying in Houston. But then the Astros, if they talk about breaking through that CBT, they're going to have to really break through that CBT.
Yeah, I mean, if you get Max Scherzer and therefore you do whatever it takes to get Correa, which is – $35 million a year, probably. Then you're in CBT territory. Now we don't necessarily even know what the CBT is CBA is going to look like after this year, but that's what it is. So, and Johnny, I know he's making 34 this year. I'm just saying a 37-year-old, and that was a long contract set up, you know, 7-8 years ago. I don't even remember how long it was, but so I'm not sure he's going to get the same amount of money.
Yeah, he won't.
37-year-old. So Brett, that I know that we talked about a bunch of deals. I've tried to give the folks, you know, and I'd be glad to send you the spreadsheet. I have 3 pages on the spreadsheet. You'll get lost in the numbers, but I mean, the point is, I believe there's reasons for the Astros to go after the players I've listed. They fit a profile that I think makes them successful in Minute Maid Park and therefore important for the postseason.
Exactly. And, you know, that's the thing. Going forward and knowing how to crunch the numbers I think it's magnanimous. And you need to know what it is you're talking about to really have a full conversation. Because, you know, Johnny Munoz actually joked a couple different times. He goes, Trout for Robel Garcia, straight up, because the Angels are wasting Mike Trout, right? I mean, of course, Johnny's being tongue-in-cheek, but there are people out there that don't really understand it. And I really don't know up until recently that I really understood the trade deadline, how it works in relation to the 40-man roster, because that's something that's really easy to forget. When you just watch MLB Network on TV or ESPN or you hear the talking heads, you know, we were talking Ken Rosenthal, we're like, okay, Starling Marte, let's talk about him. where's he going to go? They had all the batting helmets. And he went straight to the Astros. And I'm like, why are the Astros going to go all in on a center fielder? Like, we've got two guys that are like you said, seventh best center field position war-wise in the league. And so why would you worry about that? So let's just say this, and we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Because betonline.ag has all these things. If you wonder if you're a sports bettor, you've got to get in all the sports action with baseball coming and the Silver Boot Series, the Lone Star Series, the Texas Rangers are coming to Houston. That's right. And if you want to put a bet in before the first pitch, will Jose Altuve hit another monumental leadoff home run? Go to betonline.ag. Go to your laptop, download it on your mobile device. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game. I myself got into it. I'm not really a big sports bettor, but during the Super Bowl, I won some cheddar. Thank you, Tom Brady. And head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit on betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. The promo code is locked on. So right here, it says, Larry, this is a world traveler. She's one of our faithful followers. Larry, can you talk to Click? I don't even know if this guy is still with the Astros. Actually, they addressed it. I heard Julia doing an interview with either Crane or someone, and James Click was actually going around traveling, either A, visiting our minor leaguers, or B, looking at what other people had. So he's scouring the land. Probably talking to other GMs in meetings and so on and so forth, you know. But like you said, it's going to take 40-man guys to replace them with a 40-man guy. And so go ahead and give us your final thoughts, Larry. Do you think the Astros are going to get a relief pitcher or a starter or both?
I think they're going to get both. I think they're going to get one reliever and one starter. I want him to get two relievers, and just because I'm looking at that heat map, Brett, that we talk about a lot, yes. And I think there's enough there that they need to really make an impact on the bullpen. I believe they'll get a starter that's more like Gibson or Kenta Maeda from the Twins.
Okay.
If the Twins go into fire sale mode, both those players are almost exactly the same trade value. So either one. So I do not think they're going to get Scherzer. I do not think they're going to get Kenta Marte. I don't think those players are realistic. I think that yes, Scherzer is the right value, the proposition. I just think there's, as we kind of talk through, there's consequences of getting Scherzer from a payroll standpoint.
That exactly.
You know that they don't have to necessarily stay with the CBT this year, but I don't think Crane is setting up to be blowing the CBT for the next 5 years. Unless he's just going to war on the MLB and say, hey, I'll run a $250-300 million payroll. So, Brett, if you want it, we can do a little after show. I know you and I have gone a long time today talking about a lot of Astros. If folks want to stay, we'll do rapid fire post.
Well, I would, but I've got something. I've got somewhere I have to be.
Okay. Well, let it know that was Brett, people, that shut down on you, not Larry the GM. I was willing to go all night.
But yeah, so we'll just end it on this. PS4 Gaming says, sign Correa, let Greinke walk, sign Scherzer, move Odorizzi to the bullpen, then trade for Kendall Graveman or the lefty from Baltimore. There you go. I mean, he just wrapped up the show with us. You just have your cake and eat it too. But you know, with all joking aside, I think the Astros are in it to win it this year. I don't think they're waiting on 2022. They want to win it in 2021, and I'm excited. I really think they're going to make some blockbuster. I think they're going to make some moves that, whether the national media thinks it's a blockbuster, it's going to be a game changer. Maybe not to Justin Verlander, earth-shattering, you know, midnight trade deadline hits, but something very close. And so this has been a great conversation. Larry, I appreciate your time. I appreciate all the work you put in, the number crunching. And folks, if you're on Twitter, please go check it out. If you're listening, you've got to become a subscriber to our show. We got 750 subscribers. We're 250 away from 1,000. There's no reason why in the nation's fourth largest city, we don't have 20,000 subscribers. So get on there, tell your friends, tell your families. Hey, give your dog a YouTube account. Let him sign up. I'm sure he'll watch. My dog would watch if he was in here. This is all we got for today. We've got so many. I mean, we could talk about this for hours. But the Houston Astros are approaching the trade deadline. It's much anticipated. And coming Sunday night, we will have again three-time World Series champion Mike Stanton from AT&T Sportsnet. We've got other guests that we're working on in the background. We'll let you know when we get confirmation from them. And so look forward to finding myself and Eric the Man Heisman, Larry the GM. You can find him at Larry the GM on Twitter. He is a great guy, an awesome Astros fan. And we'll have you on again where we can talk more about Astros baseball, breaking down games. So we appreciate you, sir. Anything you have to say before we close?
Let's talk about the trades they do after the trade deadline. And then
that's right.
Any of you guys want to have an after conversation, reach out to me at Twitter. We'll bounce back and forth. We'll work it out. Why I think that's a good deal or not. Like I said, my spreadsheet's got a bunch of players we didn't get to because there's just, you know, it's too many to talk about. So, but a lot of them look like the players we talked about. So thanks,
exactly.
Guys.
Exactly. Thank you. Y'all have a good one. This is H-Town Wheelhouse. We are Locked On Astros. And remember, you need to go to Locked On Bets. If you're betting on the Astros, it doesn't have to be a guessing game anymore. Listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks. Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm H-Town Wheelhouse. That's it for this episode of Locked On Astros. We'll talk to you next week.